Republicans in the state legislature here in Wisconsin are introducing legislation that would bar minors from accessing some gender-affirming health care. It's the final Friday in September, the 29th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, what happens when $2 million that was allocated for the University of Wisconsin system never gets spent? The money was supposed to be used to help improve reading instruction. Corinne Hess will have that story. And in today's episode of Wisconsin Life, we're on the search for the oldest tree in the state of Wisconsin. Stay with us.
On Wisconsin Today, you hear the biggest stories in our state delivered with the context you need from a source you can trust. This journalism is community supported. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewi today.
Republicans in the state legislature are planning to introduce a ban on gender-affirming health care for minors. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, nearly two dozen other states have approved similar bills.
Under the proposal, doctors could lose their licenses for providing certain treatments, including puberty blockers, hormone therapies, and surgery. Almost 20 states have passed similar bans this year. Chris Gedner is a legal analyst who focuses on LGBTQ issues. He says many state bans are facing court challenges, but have been politically useful.
It is a well-worn pattern of targeting an unpopular minority and passing laws to do so to rile up your base.
The bill's authors say they are protecting children from making irreversible decisions about their developing bodies. Governor Tony Evers has pledged to veto any legislation targeting trans Wisconsinites. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meanwhile, another bill here in Wisconsin would require judges to set bail of at least $5,000 for criminal defendants with past bail-jumping convictions. That applies to people who failed to show up for court in the past, as well as those who violated bond conditions for things like not drinking alcohol. During a hearing this week, Republican State Senator Julian Bradley said the aim is to protect public safety.
Far too many repeat offenders and bail jumpers are being released on low or no cash bail, only for them to commit another crime.
But critics of the proposed legislation say the changes would increase the number of people held in jail before trial, while also exacerbating divides between those who can afford to post bail and those who can't. Statewide data shows that bail jumping is the most commonly filed charge here in the state of Wisconsin. The bill would also mandate bond of at least $10,000 when someone accused of a violent crime also has a past violent crime conviction. Now on to the money that was never spent. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction allocated $2 million previously in federal funds to the University of Wisconsin system to help improve reading instruction. Corinne Hess reports that that money was supposed to analyze literacy instruction.
The 13 colleges in the UW system were required by DPI to get individualized analysis of their teacher prep reading programs. As of this week, none of the schools have participated. The federal funds are now being transferred back to DPI for elementary school teacher training. And the UW system will still be tasked with updating its literacy instruction programs without federal funds. Wisconsin's new reading law requires new teachers to be trained using a science-based method by 2026. A UW system spokesperson says the schools are committed to honoring the law. He did not answer specific questions about why the universities did not participate in the national analysis of their current programs. Corinne Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Natural Resources Board has approved changes to a policy which aims to protect waterways, and that's despite concerns from industry and municipal groups. The state's anti-degradation policy oversees wastewater discharges from large livestock farms, industrial, and municipal facilities. The changes will apply to new or increased releases of pollutants into waterways. Adrian Stocks with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources told the board that this means that more facilities may have to review alternatives. He says that must show any decline in water quality is necessary for social or economic development.
And that as you're proposing to increase the amount of pollutants discharged, you have evaluated alternatives to select the less degrading option.
Industry and farm groups say the changes will cost too much. Environmental groups argue they're needed to keep waters healthy. How about this? Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley presented his proposed budget to the county board yesterday, and Evan Casey reports that the county has its first surplus in more than two decades.
Crowley projected a budget surplus of around $31 million next year. That's largely due to the bipartisan shared revenue law, which allowed the county to pass a 0.4% sales tax hike. Without it, county officials would have been forced to make budget cuts. Crowley told the board he wants to invest in affordable housing, parks, and the transit system.
With the surplus in mind, rather than determining what potential cuts would have been the least harmful, Milwaukee County now has the opportunity to deploy the most beneficial investments for our residents.
Their proposed budget includes a $16 million increase for the Milwaukee County Transit System, which will go towards maintaining service. The county board will soon begin to debate the budget and will likely vote on it in the coming weeks. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a really fun episode of Wisconsin Life for this final Friday in September. WPR's Rob Mentzer has been on the search for the state's oldest tree, and we're going to hear about his journey in today's episode of Wisconsin Life. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, are you ready for the adventure? It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about the hunt for the state's oldest tree.
The oldest known tree in Wisconsin looks nothing like you'd expect. It's not a huge, majestic tree. In fact, it's so unremarkable that it's easy to miss. WPR's Rob Mentzer has been looking for this tree for years, and he brings us the story of his search.
This is the story of a hike I took and how, after years of looking, I finally found the oldest tree in Wisconsin. Maybe. Sort of.
So where am I looking? For this?
I think it could be one of those. I guess we don't know. Okay. When I imagined Wisconsin's oldest tree, I pictured a massive red oak with limbs the size of telephone poles. But that's not it at all. The oldest tree in Wisconsin, the oldest one we know about anyway, is a scrawny little red cedar that's growing out of the side of a cliff. I got interested in this tree about 4 years ago. I was working for a newspaper at the time, and I interviewed Douglas Larson, the scientist who discovered it in 1997. What he found was that cliffs all over the world support some of the oldest life on Earth. In Wisconsin, on a cliff formation called the Niagara Escarpment, he sampled a cedar tree that was nearly 1,300 years old. But the tree is hard to find. It's on private property in Brown County. I tried to track it down. I talked to people who had seen it, and I wrote that story for the newspaper, but I never did get to see the tree for myself.
I only learned that the tree existed a couple of years ago.
So wait, did you learn about this tree from me?
Yes, kind of. It was your article.
That's Jody Davies. She and her partner Clayton own a cannabis shop in Wrightstown.
And so I was literally asking everyone I knew that would come in, like, have you heard of this tree? Do you know where it is? Is it really here? And nobody knew.
Until one day, one of her customers said, yeah, I know where it is. I can take you out there. In September, Jody sent me a message on Facebook. Hi, Rob, she wrote. I was wondering if you ever found that tree. We're having a small field trip to go see it, and I wondered if you'd like to come along. I tried to play it cool, but yeah, I wanted to come along.
The Niagara Escarpment is actually...
At the Wrightstown Fire Station, a small group of us watched a documentary about the Niagara Escarpment.
I like to think of it as the ancient backbone of North America.
Hundreds of millions of years ago, this was the shoreline of a prehistoric lake. The same cliffs that create Niagara Falls in upstate New York wind through Wisconsin. Dennis Bining, whose house is at the bottom of the ledge, had gotten permission to bring the group of us on a hike to see the tree. The problem was, he told Jody, we couldn't get that close.
We had that tornado come through in 2013.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's going to be tough to get to the base of the ledge because of the devastation.
The other problem was the cliffs are hundreds of feet high. We got as close as we could to the tree, but it was still pretty far away. Dennis let us look through his binoculars, but if I'm honest, I wasn't 100% sure which tree growing out of the side of the cliff was the tree.
Did you get closer when you did your story?
No.
I didn't get this close, no.
Gotcha.
I drove down that road.
And that was it. That was as close as we got. On the walk back, we tried to convince ourselves that we'd accomplished the mission.
Very cool.
I mean, we saw it.
We did see it. We aren't sure exactly which one.
Yeah. But our eyes saw it.
Why can a scrubby little cedar tree growing from the side of a cliff live for 1,300 years? The face of a cliff is a terrible place to grow. It doesn't get good water, it doesn't have rich soil. But here's the secret. When you're growing from a cliff, no one bothers you. Most of the time, people can't even find you. But we did find the tree. We did get to see it. You know, probably.
WPR's Rob Menser brought us that story on Wisconsin's oldest tree. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. I'm glad he found the tree, but that's it. We're just hanging off the side of the cliff. I hope we finally get to get Rob to get a little closer to that tree. We'll see if we can eventually make it possible. That'll do it for today's episode of Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. You know where to find us, right here in your podcast feed every weekday morning. And as always, I say it all the time, but if you hit subscribe, we'll show up automatically every single weekday morning. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.